Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, welcome to the Doggy Pod and thanks for listening at such a hard time in the world today with everything that's going on in the Middle East and the Ukraine and everywhere, you know, the shootings that have gone on. We hope that this is a bit of a distraction from all those awful things that you have to see in the news and that you can relax a bit and think about other things other than the horrible things. So we hope you enjoy it, and if you do enjoy it, tell you what I'd love you to do. Get on Google and give us a review. We'd love some reviews to come through from you people.
Or on Stephen Peters here, by the way, or on whatever platform to it, on iTunes or wherever you listen to it. Yeah, we'd love to get a review and see what you think of the show. Of course, if it's a one-star review, maybe just keep that to yourself, I reckon. But
don't tell us about it. No, I didn't want those. No.
Four-star and above, please. That'd be great. Yeah, welcome back to the Doggy Pod. And lovely heartfelt sentiment there, Rob, at the start. Yeah, hopefully the Doggy Pod's just a nice little bit of animal escapism for you.
Some relief from everything time. Else that's happened.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, we were inundated since our last Doggy Pod. See, sorry about the gap too between the episodes, because we've been we're well into production now on our movie that we're making, which is called Archie AI, and we've actually started shooting. So we're all super busy, but we'll keep doing the Doggy Pod. Don't you worry about that. But yeah, apologies for the big gap in between. But we were inundated with comments talking about our last episode, which was all the weird and wonderful animals that Dr. Rob's actually worked on over the years. It's been amazing.
We have, a wide variety of critters that I've been fortunate enough to deal with, reptiles and avians and probably nearly every classification of animals. People often ask me why that is, and I don't know. I've just always had a fascination with nature, even as a child. I mean, the more mature members of the audience would remember a chap called Jacques Cousteau, who brought a lot of National Geographic things to the television screen with underwater.
Didn't he invent the scuba gear? Was that
he
him?
Was one of the men who invented scuba. Yeah, exactly. Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Oh, well done, Rob.
Oh, yes. And I know that because I scuba dive, as you know.
Well, dive a lot. Yeah, you dive a lot.
Yeah, I've taken you diving. And in fact, so the animals I've worked with have been both above water and underwater. I've had a pretty varied life with animals, an enjoyable life.
Well, what I wasn't aware of until we talked about this was that, you've been involved in looking after a lot of sea animals, including sharks.
I got involved with sharks quite some time ago. I was wondering, I mean, frogs, we all know that frogs are a great indicator that the environment is very good. Wherever frogs are, The environment is clean and unpolluted. When the frogs go, you know that you've got trouble in the environment. You know, people often ring up and say, listen, all the frogs are croaking, I can't sleep. Well, that's good. It means that your environment's healthy. Stop complaining. But I started wondering whether a certain species of shark was like that. I noticed the numbers would change a little bit. And they're called Port Jackson sharks. We see them pretty well all around the place, but a lot of them in Sydney Harbour.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Kurnell. And there was quite a flux of them one year and then not so much the next year. I wondered if the water quality reflected the numbers. So, and the other thing I wondered, do they keep coming back to the same area? These sharks, there's two types of reproduction systems in sharks. One is they bear live young, and the other one is they lay eggs. Port Jackson sharks lay eggs. If you ever see the egg of
give birth to baby sharks and some lay eggs.
Some others lay eggs, and Port Jacksons lay eggs. Their eggs looks like something like a spring from a car. It's really rubbery and quite funny to look at. But I started wondering about that. So a friend of mine and I, a chap called David Baxter, who I dived with a lot, we decided on a research program where we would microchip the sharks to find out if they come back to the same place to lay their eggs, a bit like birds. You know, birds, a lot of birds go back to the exact same, not just the same island, the exact same nest that they had the year before and lay their eggs there and raise their young. We wonder if the sharks had a similar geographical locating device, if they came back to the same spot. The problem was, Stephen, that these sharks come in winter time, so we were much younger then. We dressed up and went off microchipping sharks. And we were getting some good figures, and then the government actually shut us down. They thought maybe we were harassing sharks.
So who was paying for it in the first place?
We were.
Really?
Yeah, we were funding it ourselves. But the government said, no, you don't have a permit to do that, so we're not going to
do it. A shark tagging permit.
Shark tagging permit. And the reason that they did it, they built a desalination plant near there. So I was wondering if they were worried whether the desalination plant might affect the shark environment and whether we'd have something against them on that note.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a bit silly, but we were getting figures where sharks were coming back to the same spot. What we didn't know was, were they waxing and waning in numbers according to the environment? That's what I would really want to research, the temperature and any other things in the environment, pH, of course, because that's affected by certain chemicals, salinity.
So
how did you tag
a shark? How do you do that? How do you get a shark to sit still for a moment?
Because people say, oh, they're just gummy sharks, they don't hurt you. One of them actually bit David quite badly on the shin, took a great big chunk of skin off his shin. I shouldn't be laughing, but we both laughed about it afterwards.
What, so you just had to creep up on them and...
Correct.
Tag it.
They're a shark that do sleep. You know, most sharks have to move all the time. These guys don't. They'll just rest in caves and things. So we just snuck up behind them and grabbed them. Being careful not to get spiked by this big horn they have on top of them, on the dorsal fin. And unfortunately, I mean, that's what happened to Steve Irwin. He was not with a shark but with a ray. With the horn they have in their, you know, that spine they have in their tail went straight into his chest. And that was so sad and so unfortunate. So we had to be careful. We weren't going to get spiked with the horn from the shark, from the Port Jackson shark. And we just microchipped them always in one spot so we could go back and just scan it the next year.
Wow. But,
we got shut down. So that would be the fun. And again, because it was nature and I could maybe give something back to nature that might have helped the environment. That's why we started that research project. But we've done a lot of marine life since.
Well, you've also worked on seals too, haven't you?
Oh, seals have been they were a big part of my life at one stage. There was
people could say that. Seals were a big part of my life.
Well, I even had a seal in my pool here at home once.
No.
I'm serious. It was sick. And someone had to look after it. So rather than getting up at 4 a.m. and going out to where he was being kept, we transported him here. I had a saltwater pool, and he was quite happy in here and got better and went back. So, and you get very attached to them because seals are very similar to dogs. You know, when you hear a seal making its noise, the seal barks just like a dog.
Yeah.
It has whiskers just like a dog. The male seal has a bone in his penis, which is called the os penis, and it's dead ringer in shape and size and everything for a dog's penis. So dogs have a bone in their penis as well. They're both very, very similar in so, so many ways. And, of course, they relate to humans. They can relate to humans, even though they're a wild animal. They're not you've got to be careful. If you see them in the wild, don't go trying to pat a seal. They'll bite you very quickly. They're like dogs, and they've got big teeth, and they protect.
But they can get sick just like any other animal.
And we had to anaesthetise one once, and that's always scary because they're unlike other creatures. The ones that dive like that, when you anaesthetise them, they can go into a dive mode, and you've got to try and bring them out, otherwise they won't breathe again, and they will die. So you've got to be very careful with anaesthetics with animals like seals, or if you're ever thinking about anaesthetising a dolphin, which thankfully I've never had to.
Because they're heavy too, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, they're big animals. Seals and dolphins, and they're mighty heavy, mighty heavy.
And you've even worked on a little fish as
well. Yeah, aquarium fish. I think we mentioned it once on the Doggy Pod, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to all the episodes of the Doggy Pod.
It was a
Jaguar cichlid, a very unusual fish that someone had bought, and something was coming out of its... They only have one hole. Like birds, they don't have a hole for the urine and a hole for the feces. There's just one hole. Everything goes in and out of that, called a cloaca. And this animal was... things were coming out of there. They'd called a specialist in Queensland. He said, you may as well put it down. They don't survive. And then they came here, and I said, well, look, it probably won't survive, but let's do surgery.
And how big a fish are we talking?
Big? This was probably about a foot. Or how big's a foot? how many centimetres is that, people? I don't know. Yeah, I'm an old guy.
Yeah, that big, yeah, okay.
Yeah, about the size of a ruler. Yeah, the kids use at school.
No, you're that really size. Old.
Yeah, that many centimetres.
Okay, so it wasn't tiny.
No, it wasn't too tiny. It was big enough that I could see there was stuff coming out of its cloaca, and that was bad, and this animal was going to die. So we bubbled some anaesthetic gas into the water, and that's how I anaesthetised it, and put the bubbles up near the gills. And then we got him out of the water, but kept water flowing through the gills with anaesthetic gas in it. That's how I anaesthetised him. He kept still. I cut him open. We explored. We literally de-sexed this fish and sewed him up, or her up.
But why did you de-sex it? Did you think that's what the problem was?
The organs were coming out of the cloaca. So she was herniating out of the cloaca. They were outside the body. The organs in the fish mainly are inside, not all. Like in male sharks, they have claspers where they grab the... You can tell a male shark from a female often because males have these two things where they grab the female when they're copulating, and they're called claspers. But you can't tell with these fish, no such thing. So we managed to get everything out and... then we had to wait and see. Well, this thing went on to live for quite a few years. I'd see these people in the supermarket locally, still going. Great, good news.
So I'm guessing it was a very expensive fish.
It was, but I mean, look, when we get cases like that, we do it out of interest. We do it for the animal's sake first and foremost, out of interest to see if we can help the animal. And, we don't charge for that sort of thing because we don't know if it's going to work or not, but it was worth a try and it did work.
Of course, one of the most common pets here in Australia, anyway, as well as dogs and cats, are budgies, budgerigars, and probably to a lesser extent parrots, but certainly there's lots of budgies around. And, budgies aren't big. They're a small bird. Have you had to operate on a budgie at any time?
Yeah,
sounds bizarre.
We've had budgies with the main reason you have to operate on a budgie guard is usually a tumour somewhere.
But how do you know?
And
I mean,
well, you see bulging. I mean, like I said, they're little guys,
yeah.
So tumours tend to bulge somewhere, and you have to remove them for one reason or another. Sometimes a broken wing or a broken leg. There are other reasons. So if ever you come across a budgie, or if you've got a budgie and it gets injured in any way, or you're worried about it.
Mm.
The big thing while you're waiting to see the vet, keep it warm. Don't try and do too much to it. Keep it warm, quiet and dark. That will help the bird very, very much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And we try and diagnose it. It's not always easy to do. There are very good bird specialists. I am not one of them. We built a big aviary outside our practice.
Yeah, you've got lots of birds in there. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's that aviary, it's a bit of a Darwinian aviary. It's a rescue aviary for, you know, birds that need rescuing. We first built it because a dear old lady couldn't live where she was living anymore. She had quite a few birds and said, what am I going to do with them? She was in tears. She didn't want to just separate the pairs and everything. So we built this big aviary and put the birds in there, and they lived happily. And then other people come along, oh, look, you know, I've found this bird and it's so injured and it was, you know, mangled wing or something. It was never going to fly. So you'd fix the bird and put it in there. Or they, you know, people were moving house and couldn't take exotic birds with them. So
what would happen if they let the birds free? Would they not survive?
They would die. Oh, yeah. No, if I could let a bird free to survive, absolutely, 100%, off they go, please. So often when we are fixing birds, native birds have been hit by cars flying to a window, then we try and rehabilitate that bird back into the wild. I had it once with a pelican. You're not going to believe what happened to this pelican. Hit by a car and it broke its beak. I'm serious. Yeah, that bigger beak.
But you don't live anywhere near the ocean. How are you looking after a pelican? No,
pelicans still fly out this way. It was one down, because there's big lakes and that.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Down the river.
Right.
And so we had a pelican with a broken beak. We patched it up. Yep.
If somebody, as an example, the lady you were talking about had all these birds, if she just let them free, like budgies or whatever she had, would they just not survive because they're just used to being fed?
Yeah, they probably wouldn't make it. Yeah, once if they're over domesticated in cages and over humanized, I guess, then they're going to have trouble out in the wild finding food and knowing where to go to get the food, because it's been delivered to them every day.
Mm.
So it becomes problematic. You have to, same with animals where people have tried to get them back into the wild, like dolphins, for example. When there'd been a big move to push to get rid of dolphinariums and put them back in the wild.
Yes.
Well, you can't just let them go if you do that. You've got to teach them to catch fish. Otherwise, they're going to die out there.
Catch live fish that are wriggling around, not ones that are given to them dead already, yes.
So it's a different ballpark that they go into, and they have to really know how to bat their way through a lot of obstacles to get through life. So it's once you've either not so much domesticated, but you've tamed a wild animal in some way, putting it back in the wild is a big project. And the people who do that do a very good job. You know, there are people dedicated that will do that sort of thing and keep watching that animal until you think, yep, it's now sustaining a healthy life in the wild, and it's on the turn.
Yeah.
Not easy to do.
So just back to budgies for a sec. If you were operating on a budgie, you would have to anaesthetise it with, like, just put something, a little cone or something over its head so it could just breathe in the gas.
The first animal I ever operated on, we didn't have a lot of money. We had this chick. We have these chickens. This chicken developed this tumour. And I thought, well, I've got to do. Yeah, I thought, everyone's saying put it down, cut its head off, and I could do that. I got this attached to all animals. And I got an empty roll, the cone from a toilet paper roll, the cardboard cone. Stuffed it with cotton wool, got some ether from the chemist, and the chemist said, oh, what's this for? I said, oh, to anaesthetise a chicken. He said, if anyone asks you, it's for cleaning glass. I said, oh, okay, cleaning glass. So, put the ether in there and it knocked it out. And we cut it open, my friend and I, and my mother came in halfway through. Yep, my mother came in halfway through and said, what are you doing? So trying to save this burn. She was, I'm going to call you the RSPCA anyway.
So you were just a kid at this stage.
Oh, yeah, I was end of year 11 it was. So sewed this bird up in high school. Sewed this bird up after we got the tumour out and, put it back in with the others. I must have scared the hell out of it because it started laying a lot of eggs afterwards. It was really good.
So you actually knew what a tumour was and how to get rid of it?
Yeah, well, I went to the library because no internet in those days.
No.
Went to the library, looked up. I remember there was Black's Veterinary Dictionary and a whole lot of other books that I read on animals and thought, I think I'm going to give this a go, and it worked. So maybe that's where I get my attitude of, well, why just chop its head off? Why not try and do something for the animal?
Well, you could have chopped its head off and then it could have ended up in a stir fry.
Very easily, but it kept laying eggs. It had a good life.
Oh, aren't you good? What a wonderful vet you are. So let's dive back in the water for a second, Rob.
Yeah.
Not that you would dive in the water with a crocodile, but I know that you've actually worked on a crocodile.
Worked on some big guys and
where? Don't tell me there's crocodiles around your part of the world.
You're pulling my leg now. These are in zoos that people have had.
Yeah.
There was a private zoo that was building up. Quite a stock of animals called Notre Dame.
Was that here in Sydney?
Mulgoa, out that way. And he had a lot of baby crocodiles, and they became very sickly. These are freshwater crocodiles, Johnstone River crocodiles, but they all started, you could see they had fungus on them. It was like, to me, it looked like a
fungus.
On
their skin?
Yep. Yep, and I think it's because it's overcrowding and stress and a lot of other reasons.
Mm.
Often if it's the husbandry isn't 100%, animals get sick. It often relates to that. So, it reminded me of a case I had, going back a little bit, I was doing a course out at Macquarie Uni and the professor had a pair of Queensland lungfish and he said, oh, since you're a vet, you better come and have a look at these. And they had fungus streaming out of them as well.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, gosh, this looks really bad. And he tried all the normal things for fungus. I thought, well, what are the worst funguses I know? I thought of thrush and ringworm. So I got some tablets that we use on ringworm, crushed them and kept squirting those in their gills and got some cream that they use for thrush in ladies and squirted that into their gills. Yeah.
Okay.
And it worked really well. So when I saw this in these freshwater alligators, I thought Johnstone River crocodiles, I thought, you know what? I think we're going to treat these very similar way. So they all got sprayed each day with some iodine, iodine is great. It kills bacteria, kills funguses, and it kills viruses as well.
Mm.
So they got a spray with iodine each day by me and, watched the effect of them. They were fine. And crushed a little bit of a tablet called Grisio Fulvum, which is an antifungal tablet. Crushed that up and put it in their food and got them going with that each day, and then just kept working on the environment, making sure the water was always clean, increasing the available room they had virtually, and they all got better. So,
what's the difference between a crocodile and an alligator? Well, they're two different animals, right?
Yeah, there's different species. You know, our saltwater crocodile is probably the most ferocious of all these reptiles that you know. It's a real dinosaur, and they grow really big. Mind you, the American alligator is not to be looked at lightly either, because it'll take you in.
Yeah, we don't have alligators here, do we?
No, we have Johnson River crocodiles, which are more our freshwater crocodiles, and rarely do they attack. And then we have our saltwater crocodiles, and we all know they attack. Yes. And so you must never smile at them.
Have you ever had to operate on one?
No, I've never had a major surgery on a crocodile or even any alligators. Mm. Not yet.
Mm. Well, you're still young. Anything could happen.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
And what about dogs? Have you ever worked on dogs?
A couple, now and then, yes. Mm. Yes,
I reckon in your time, and I'm not suggesting for a second, Rob, that you might be getting on a bit or anything, but you would have looked at literally thousands of dogs.
Yeah, I look probably in a year. I would look at thousands of dogs
in a year. Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking over your career. Oh, in a year you would look at
I'd
thousands
be over a
of
thousand
dogs
in a year, and I know that for a fact because we do things like give individual numbers to all our patients for X-rays, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And well, just this year we're into about 1,500. Now that's with all of vets putting their numbers on. Mm. But then our cases are all numbered as well. And yeah, I usually get over 1,000 cases for a year very easily. Very easily.
Wow, that's a lot of happy, healthy animals. Thanks to Dr.
It's
Rob.
It's just great. Look, I've been blessed. It is a blessing to be able to do this. For me, it is. Mm, mm. To be able to help people with their animals. Yes, and as I often say to people, I love people that love their animals. That they are good people. They are salt of the earth people. And if you are one of these people that hates dogs, which does happen, please surrender yourself to the police. You're a psychopath.
I don't think there's any of those listening to the Doggy Pods.
No, none of them are listening to me. If you know someone, kick them and just give them to the police.
Well, I reckon that most Doggy Pod listeners wouldn't know anybody either that doesn't like them.
Nah,
so they're
all good people.
Just don't mingle. No.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you very, very much for listening to the Doggy Pod. We appreciate it as always. And if you're not, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, but I'm sure you are. And, because there's some great videos there. Dr. Rob posted this great one the other day of him and Oggy and teaching you how to stop your dog from following you when it wants to and it's sitting out in the front of the shop waiting for you as you go inside, that sort of stuff. Very, very important, very useful. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and we'll see you next time. And, yeah, as Dr. Rob mentions, write us a review. That'd be great. Thank you. And, of course, Rob, as always, wants to have the last word.
Yeah, look, at the moment, a lot of people are saying, gee, it's a real tough time around the world, and it really is. So hang on to your dogs. Give them a hug. Please, if you're feeling down, the place to find some solace is in your dog, I'll promise you. Go for a walk and talk to them. Tell them your troubles. They'll always be there for you. So, folks, till next time, see you again.
See you next time. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.